حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The reason for our happiness, before we start to be motivated in order to live our life, the first basic reason for our happiness should be the importance that we give to life itself. Many times we look for happiness in places where, you know, which has to do with our desires or trying to fulfill our desires. You know, like we try to have fun by playing games or watching movies. You know, for us, this is an enjoyment. Even before we get to that, our first source of enjoyment should be the importance that we give to life itself, not things that are related to life. This is very important for us to really understand. Someone who understands life leads it with a very high spirit. He leads it with a very high spirit. You look at it, he's always into life. He's always wanting more out of it. You know, you see that he's a very high, you know, his drive is higher than others. Because life has been understood by him, and because he understood that, that's why he's giving importance to it. Here, just a few things I want to mention today. Again, as I speak and as I am trying to, in you know, like for example, indulge in this subject, one of the important things for us also to understand before we get into any subject is the fact that no matter what advice we get from Allah and the prophets and the imams, no matter what instructions we get from him or from them, it will only have a positive effect on us if we have recognized ourselves and analyzed ourselves correctly. And in other words, we are real about what this is all about. Sometimes, you know, because we are not real about things, then it affects us the wrong way. It rubs us the wrong way, or it makes us think something else than what the message is about. Why? Because we are not accurate in looking at our own self. Let me explain this a little bit, and then I'll go on, inshallah, with the loud salawats. Now, if you look in the mirror, what do you see? Right? What do you see when you look in the mirror? You say that, well, I see myself. Do you actually see yourself, or do you see something that your mind wants you to see? This is where we deceive ourselves. Even when we look at ourselves, honesty is not being honest with others. Honesty means being honest with ourselves. Many times the mind portrays us and makes us think something different than what we actually are. When I look at myself in the mirror, you see yourself, and are you seeing an accurate and objective image of yourself, or are you seeing what you want to see in yourself and hiding away things that you don't want to see? Here is where we need to reflect. Have I really learned to look at myself? Am I real with myself? Or no, do I have this impression of myself that is something else? And I don't want to admit it, that I'm ugly. I don't want to admit that, you know what, there's something wrong with me. I'm not real about it. This is where honesty comes in. And every teaching of Allah and Ahlul Bayt cannot be effective if we are dishonest with ourselves. You know, if we lie to ourselves. This is the meaning of this hadith of the Prophet, where he said that when asked can a believer steal? He said, yes, he can steal. And a believer fornicate? He says, yes, he's capable of fornicating. You know, he went through all these things. And a believer do dhulm? He says, yes, a believer is capable of doing dhulm. And then at the end they said, and a believer lie? He says, no, a believer cannot lie. You see, more than adultery, more than fornication, more than the worst thing is lying. Because when you lie, you see, when you do all those things, if you do zina, for example, there's punishment for it. And you know what? You can hear a hadith and be affected by it. Right? And change your life. If you do, for example, steal, if you steal something, this and that. Right? You know, there's, for example, rectification for it. You hear some nasihat and some advice, and then you are rectified by it. But when you lie to yourself, the problem is no advice is useful for you, because that advice is hitting you and you are taking it the wrong way, or it's not affecting you because you are not being honest with that, with yourself and that advice that's coming to you. The most important thing in Islamic teachings is being honest with who I am. Right? Being honest with who I am. You know, and this is the reason why, for example, when people looked at believers in time of Imam Ali and this and that, when you see them, right, you see those people who are believers, you know, people like Malik Ashtar, people like Amar Yasir and these type of people, when you looked at them, they were different than the people like Abu Musa Ashari. Abu Musa Ashari was the religious man of Kufa. He was very religious. Right? People respected him. In fact, they refused to listen to Imam Ali because of him. They said, listen, if he agrees, then we'll listen to you, Ali, because we see him as more religious than you are. Right? He's more religious than you are. Right? And the fact is that, you know, Abu Musa Ashri was a person who was very, you can say, devoted to worship. Like, unlike, for example, Malik Ashtar. You know, who was more devoted to Allah. Right? And that was the difference between the two. Right? One was more into, you know, the practice of worship. One was more into the obedience to Allah. And these are two different things. And the fact that happens is that such people who lie to themselves end up becoming religious and not muttaqi. They end up becoming religious. They don't end up becoming muttaqi. Muttaqi is something else. Taqwa is something else than being religious. Right? Malik Ashtar was muttaqi. Malik Ashtar was muttaqi. Right? When, for example, Abu Musa Ashri refused to accept Imam Ali's orders to join the army, he said, no, we will not take part in this war, because on one side is Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, and Ummul Mu'mineen, and on the other side is Ali, and he's Amir al-Mu'mineen, and hence, you know, between Ummul Mu'mineen and Amir al-Mu'mineen, we can't decide. So it's better to stay away from this sort of fitna and trouble, right? That's what he said. So he stayed away from the war. So Ammar Yasir went there, and he tried to convince him, listen, do otherwise this and that. He goes, no, you know, I don't want to listen to any of this, all these things. And then what happened is that when Imam Ali said, Malik Ashtar, Malik Ashtar went there, he put a sword on the neck of Abu Musa Ashri. He says, now tell me, right, you want to come or no? He said, okay, I'll come. So Malik Ashtar says, so this is the height of your religion, that if you put a sword on your neck, you will change your whole religion. Right? This is the extent of your religion then. Right? The idea of taqwa was never there. Right? See, religious people are hardly muttaqi. Muttaqi people, right? They, when they have religion, they understand what is real and that they are real in their dealings with others. This is very important in their responsibilities towards Allah. And sometimes, you know, this is the way that we have to make ourselves. Do not make ourselves such that we are looking in the mirror and we want to see. Because a lot of times when you look in the mirror, that's what happens. You know, you look at a different angle to make you look good. Right? This is what you do. Yeah, you look at different angle. Hey, you know, I look handsome this way. Because this is the mind justifying your weaknesses. It does that. It's automatic thing that it does. And this is the reason why, for example, the first thing before any knowledge can help us is that we are real and we are honest about who we are. If you're not honest about who we are, then there's no way that any knowledge can help us in the correct way. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when we are speaking about life, my friends, most people don't comprehend the joy of life. What they comprehend are the pleasures of desires and the enjoyments that are in the umbrella of life. These are two separate things, and this is first thing I want to make clear, that many of us don't understand that life itself is enjoyable. Life itself without anything that you do in it is beautiful. Right? It is a blessing of Allah and it is meant for our enjoyment. This is the first thing in life. All the rest of the things we do, like we watch movies, we play games, we do all these other things, these are just things, you know, that are inside and in the umbrella of life. But this should not be the major joy of life. That I love living because I can do all these things. Well, then you don't love living, you love doing those things. If you couldn't do them, then you would hate living. Really? Now imagine yourself, a person who likes to do so many things. He likes skydiving, he likes to go rafting, he likes to do all these fun things, mountain climbing. He's an exciting guy. And he says, I love life. No, you don't love life. You love these things that you're doing in life. If you were restricted from these things, now would you love life? If you weren't able to do these things, would you love life now? No. Man, that would be horrible. Right? It would be, right? It would be horrible if a person like that is tired. So this is not actually enjoying life. He has never understood what life is. That sort of a person never understood what life is. Because he hasn't learned to enjoy that life itself. He hasn't learned that life itself is enjoyable. And that's what we want to understand. Salawat ala Muhammad. My friends, in order to understand life, right, I don't want you to use your akal, your intellect. Because of the fact that comprehension is only for things that are restricted and limited. Things that don't have limitations cannot be comprehended by our intellect. They cannot be comprehended by our intellect. You know, our intellect can comprehend basic functions, logical conclusions, and when it is unable to create a logical conclusion, the akal stops working and starts rejecting. It doesn't understand it. This is one of the reasons why when we look at our life, everyone's life, all human beings' life, life doesn't begin with intellect. Life begins with imagination. Life begins with imagination. As a child, you don't use your akal to learn. As a child, you use your imagination to see. Right? When you look at things, you're imagining things. This is how it happens. You see, there's more imagination. Imagination is a power and a faculty that Allah has given us. Unfortunately, many people who become adults think that imagination is for kids. Let it be there, daydreaming, dreaming about things. This is a child stuff. It's not real. and they keep it aside, and that stops their growth. Because the akal can only tell you what's right, there. I'm not talking about akal here, because really I would change the statement a little bit. The reason I'll change it is this, I'll explain it in a way that would understand it. You see, my friends, akal is different than sense. A lot of people, they say that sense is akal or intellect. Intellect is being sensible. No, being sensible is something else. Being intellectual is something else. Having intelligence is something else. Right? Allah, He gave us intelligence, yes, to achieve greatness. He gave us sense to help us stay away from harm. As an example, I'll give you, right? For example, if someone, right, wears a, what do you call those safety things when you're on the boat? Life jacket, thank you. If someone wears a life jacket on a boat, right, in the middle of an ocean, right, and you see him wearing a life jacket, he's wearing a life jacket, he's out there in the lake, wearing a life jacket. Now, what would you call that? Right? I mean, you don't look at such a person and say, man, he's such an intelligent person, he's wearing a life jacket. Right? I mean, you wouldn't say that. Right? You would say that he's a sensible person. He's wearing a life jacket. That's sensible. You see, intelligence is different than sensible. Right? Intelligence isn't there to help you decide between right and wrong. Right? Akal is not there to help you decide between right and wrong. Right? Or what is good and what is bad. Or truth and falsehood. Akal is not meant for that. Allah didn't give us akal for this reason. It would be wrong for Allah, to do that to us. Right? To give akal for this reason, right and wrong. No. Our sense is enough for that. Staying away from harm is the work of our sense. Being that we are sensible, that's why we stay away from harm. Someone who loses their sense, that's why they take risks and do crazy stuff. And then when something happens to them and they die, yet they go into extreme sports and they think that this is like a rush. No, it's because they lost their senses. That's why they're there. Right? It's like, right? Because when they get injured and harmed and they lose a leg or something like that or become permanently disabled, then they're like, why did I do that for? Right? This is not sensible to do these things. Right? It doesn't make sense to do these things. Right? But it has nothing to do with intelligence. Intelligence is not for that. Intelligence is there to help you decide not between what's right and wrong, but between two rights, which is the better of the two rights. It's there to decide between good and better and best. That's where it is used. That's where it's used. Not here, right, where it's right and wrong. A lot of times we think that, for example, it's akal and intellect that helps us to decide between Jahannam and Jannat, heaven and hell. No, it's not our intellect that helps us to stay away from hell. It's our own sense and our own sensibleness that helps us to stay away from hellfire. That's why whenever you see Allah speak about hell, He never appealed to our mind. He never appealed to our intellect. You see that? When he speaks about hell, he says punishment, fire, pain, zakum, the tree of zakum. You'll be melting there. There'll be scorpions and snakes and all these type of things. Now, is this appealing to our akal or is it appealing to our sense of fear? What Allah wants is that, listen, just your sense of fear of you putting yourself into harm is enough for you to stay away from hell. You don't need akal for that. You don't need intellect for that. You don't need intellect for that, do all that. No, you can do it this way. That's enough for you. So, Allah, why did you give this for me? Allah, when He gave us akal, and akal is a very great thing that He gave us, and I'm explaining, I don't know how I got into this tangent, but it's good because it's very helpful to understand many things in life. We explain it in a different way. We send a salawats. Allah. You know, the choice that Islam gives to people is different than the choice that all other religions give to people, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, whatever. Ask all the religions, why did Allah create? What choice do we have as human beings? They'll say, well, you have a choice between heaven and hell, right? Between being saved and not being saved, salvation and damnation. That's the choice that you have between these two, right? Islam doesn't say that. Islam is not about choosing between heaven and hell. Allah didn't give us aql for that. He didn't give us intellect so that we can choose between heaven and hell. That would be wrong for Allah to do that. It would be like, for example, me inviting you, right? If I invite you and say, hey, why don't you come over to my house? And you came over to my house and I offer you two drinks. I said, this is juice, man, really fresh and everything. And that is poison. You can choose what you want to drink. You'll be like, I'll take the juice, thank you, but offering me poison is awkward, man. I feel strange being in your presence as your guest and you're offering me poison. Thank you, I won't take it, but still, would it be right for me to do that? Right? To offer you this? Okay, you know, I'm inviting you as a guest and this is what I'm doing to you. It won't be right. The same way, Allah did not invite us in this world and in this life to give us a choice between heaven and hell and say, okay, you can either go to heaven, great place and all that, and hell, this, you know, choose that. That was never the choice of Islam. Islam never, Allah never meant human beings to choose between heaven and hell. Hell is something that you should be away from, just from your sense of fear. That should be enough for you staying away from harm. Right? That's the difference between us and animals, right? Us and animals are like that. The animals also, if they see harm, they don't go there. It doesn't mean that they're intelligent. It means that they're sensible, that they have sense. Right? Intelligence is for a different purpose. This is why you see that when Allah now wants to give a choice, He's not giving a choice between heaven and hell. He's saying, the choice I'm giving you is which part of heaven do you want to go to? That's why I gave you your intellect for, to choose the best for yourself. This is what the intellect is for. And when we use intellect for that reason, then you see, yes, wow, then we can really go high. The idea is that life, when you understand life, the issue about life is that itself is enjoyable. And that's where we want to reach. We don't need anything else to make it enjoyable. Wanting to have something else to make it enjoyable really means that we haven't understood what life is. Some people, you know, I remember one brother, he asked one of the kids, you know, so what do you want to do? And I say a kid, he wasn't a kid, he was like 17, 18 years old. So he said, you know, what do you like to do the most? He says, you know, I want to play, you know, Xbox. You know, that's my pastime. I play Xbox all the time. He says, all right, let me show you a better game. And what's that? I mean, what are you doing in Xbox? You know, you're trying to, you know, kill some people and save some people, right? But that's just a game. Do you want to play that game in real life? Right? How exciting would it be? I mean, the game of life, that's exciting. The game of life is exciting, where you're actually not just playing game on a video that's unreal, but you're actually playing a game in real life of saving the souls of people on one side and defending the truth on the other side. This is the real game. This is a game. This is real. This is excitement. It's fun. This is life. But we don't want to deal with that. Right? It's hard for us to deal with that, you know? You think of ourselves, our nafs, as our enemy, that we have to control our nafs, destroy it. That's difficult. Yes, you know, because what happened is that in a game, when you play Xbox, what happens in Xbox? You know, you play a game and it's not real. You know, even if you die, you can restart it. In real life, it's not like that. Right? The game is real. And you have one life. But here, I'll stop it here, inshallah. We'll go on on this, inshallah, some other time. But imagination is what I'm talking about. Imagination, my friends, is the first thing in life. When you are a child and you have children, when you want to teach them something, you start with their imagination, not with their comprehension. Not with comprehension. You start with comprehension, they will be lost. They won't understand. You start with imagination, then they start thinking. Their mind starts going. The faculty of imagination is what makes us do great things. Really, this is what makes us, our aql, right? It helps us to get on the right, to make sure that we are on the right. And then it's our imagination, our power of imagination that pushes us, that motivates us to do great things. To do great things. This is why, you know, imagination is important. So when we are talking about life, I want you to use your imagination. Use your imagination. That's where you'll see this is. So, because imagination can understand things that are unlimited, infinite. Right? It can understand things that are infinite. My friends, there's a hadith we have that a child who's at the age of a toddler, the thing that you should teach him is the dhikr of la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. This is what you should teach the child at the beginning. La hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Now, when you look at that meaning of la hawla wa la quwata, no power and no strength except for Allah, right? Now, this is depicting the infinite power of Allah. But we can't even come close to comprehending that as adults, as having learned everything and all these things, we don't even know. But we are teaching that to the child because the idea is that because they're using their imagination, the imagination can comprehend that. Your aql cannot comprehend it. See, imagination can comprehend things that aql cannot. It can't. It can go further than the aql. This is the idea behind it. So now when we come to dunya and this life. Life is in two phases. One is in this dunya, one is there. In akhirat. There are two phases of life. My friends, people who haven't understood life will make this dunya and this world, the life of this world, their goal. It's a very low goal. Those who haven't understood life always lower their goals in life and expectations in life. If you don't understand your life, then what is your goal? Ask anyone out there, what is your goal in life? He says, inshallah, you know, have a good, secure retirement. Right? In retirement, I don't want to end up begging or in the hands of others. This is your goal, right? Look at this goal. I mean, what is your goal? It all depends, you know, my IRA, this and that. This is what it's about. For those people who haven't understood life, my friends, life, the goals in life are so low that it's only limited to their next 40, 50 years. That's it. That's all it is for them. Really, this is all that they have for them. And such people who have these low goals, they need to understand they haven't understood life. If you ask me, what's your goal in life? Man, I just want to live a safe life and, you know, that's it. That's your goal and this is it? It means you haven't understood life yet. Just why we should understand life. That we need one hadith for you, inshallah. We will end it for today. All right, one hadith I'll read for you. My friends, tell me. If you go in front of the Prophet, right, to meet him, to say salam to him, would you like it if he turns his back on you and refuses to say salam? Right? How would that feel? This is Rasulullah, your link, your whole and soul. Right? If he turns his back on you, would you feel good about it? Right? Of course not, right? My friends, let me just tell you this one hadith from Rasulullah. And he speaks about turning his back. He says, فَأَرِذْ أَمَّنْ تَوَلَّ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. He says, turn your backs. When he's advising others, he's also turning his back. He says, turn your back on those people who turn their backs on our remembrance. In the remembrance of Ahlul Bayt, you know. If you see people turn away from the remembrance of Ahlul Bayt, then you turn your back to them. Right? Number one. And who are these people? Ya Rasulullah, who are these people who have turned away from Ahlul Bayt? And he explains this. Who are these people? He says, وَلَمْ يَرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He says, these are the people who do not want anything but the life of this dunya. Their whole goal is the life of this dunya. Their whole concern is the life of this dunya. These are the people that when you see that their whole concern is this life, turn your back away and walk away from them. Because I do the same to them also. If they haven't understood life, if they haven't learned to appreciate life, and what life is, the blessing that life is, then you know what? You turn away from them. This is what Rasulullah is saying to us. Can you imagine that? This is why we want to learn about life. That we want our concern to be of life. My brothers, sisters, really honestly, ask yourself today, from suhoor that you ate and you went to sleep probably and you woke up, went to work or your school or wherever you went to, this and that. How many times in the day have you thought about your life there? How many times in this whole day that went by that you thought about, oh yes, my life in Jannat. Right? My Akhirat, wow. How will I be there? How many times have you thought, really, honestly, you know? We need to ask ourselves. Then we say that, how much importance are we giving to it? Yeah, I mean, our whole worry should be life. Man, my life, my life. But if our concern is only this life, it means that we haven't understood life yet. It's only here. Right? It's only here. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All right. Again, you know, I guess what time is the prayer today? It's 8, it's 10 minutes from now, right? So, all right, I'll just stop it here. Just ending this hadith, right? This hadith that the Prophet said, after he said that the only thing they understood or they want is a life of this dunya, he says, ذَلَكَ مَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. He says that's all they got from ilm. He says that's all they got from knowledge. This ilm is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Meaning that all the things we showed them, all the teachings we gave them, is this all you got from it? Dunya, that's it? That's all you learned from us? It means you turned our back on us. You really turned your back on us. That all these teachings we gave you and this is what you got? That's it? Is this the result of our teachings that your main concern is the life of this dunya? How can you say you are the students of Ahlul Bayt if this is your main concern? How can you say that? My friends, you know, imagine this. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. This is all you got from it. That's it. How can you say such a thing? I mean, how can you be like that with us? We taught you so much and this is your concern? And you go around saying that, you know, we are the Shias of Ahlul Bayt and this is who you are? Really, that's an embarrassment for Ahlul Bayt. It's really an embarrassment for Ahlul Bayt. You know, I mean like, hey, you know, here we are and, you know, all... My concern is this dunya, but I'm the Shia. I learned from Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt didn't teach us that. They didn't teach us that. So where did we get it from? Why are we saying we are their students and putting them to shame? Right? That everyone's thinking, okay, these are the students of Ahlul Bayt whose main concern is dunya. This is what is meant by this sentence of Rasulullah. ذَلِكَ مَبْلُغُ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. This is all they got from ilm. That's all they got from us. So inshallah, I'll stop over here and we will ask questions, you know. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. fahm, and awareness, understanding, comprehension. In which way? I need to understand the question.
From intelligence to senses to comprehension. Okay.
Okay, if I'm understanding the question right, let me just, you know, explain sense that we have from akal first, right? Now, sense is, you know, what prevents us from harm, right? For example, if you see, for example, a road that's broken, you know, we don't go into it, you know? Not because we have akal, because we have sense, right? Animals do the same thing also. Sense, well, you can call it instinct, but instinct is based on sense, on instinct of fear, because the fear of harm is what's protecting you. If Allah didn't put that in there, then you would just walk into a window. Right, you'd walk in the window and you'll get hurt. You won't get hurt, right? The issue is that Allah put a sense first inside ourselves, and He put it in animals also. This is the reason we are animals. Human beings are hayawan first, then they're natik, meaning akal, right? Us being hayawan and animal, the animalistic quality that we have is that we have sense in us that protects us from harm, and the animals have the same thing. Animals don't have akal. So the akal is what helps us to decide between what's best for us, right?
But, okay, so kind of going based off of what he said, you said that, you know, in order to decide between heaven and hell, you really don't need your akal. Sense should be enough for that. Then why does the Quran talk about these people and say, "Aktarum la yaqilun"? Why is it saying that they don't need
akal? Yes, the thing is that, you know, when akal is being, when yaqilun as a verb is being used, right? Yaqilun as a verb is being used. It's also used for senses. You know, for your sense as a verb. Right? When it's used as an ism, al-aql, then that's different. That is according to hadith we have, not according to lughat or language. According to hadith is the definition of aql, what the aql is for. Right? What it's meant for. So Allah, He didn't make such a great creation that He praised, because, you know, He told the akal, when He created akal, to move back, move forward, get up, sit down. Then He says, you know what? I love you and I'm going to make you, right? And I'm going to give you in the best place. And hence, you know, this akal, right, is something for greater things, not to stay away from hell, right? To achieve a status in heaven. No, asking a question is all right.
Right. Said, because of you, I will punish, and because of you, I will reward.
Reward, yes.
So, that means Aqal is the
reasoning, yes.
Reason that Allah is going to punish or reward.
Yes.
So, put that in the context of what we were talking about.
Okay. How much time we have? Because I want
to
explain it good. Yeah, something inshallah. Yeah, I can explain that, you know, inshallah, well, where the akal fits in and how it is responsible for reward and punishment. Right. Yeah, right now, you know, if I start, it's going to take long, and that's why, you know, I think we'll end it here so we can go there and get ready for iftar. Though iftita, inshallah, I'm here, or inshallah, you know, I'll explain it, you know, when everyone comes tomorrow after the question and answers. This is the reason I wanted to stop the speech earlier, so we have enough time for question and answers, and people will have a lot of question and answers, inshallah. All right, then, let's make a fatiha for the shuhada and marhumin. We'll end it here. Bismillah, Allahumma, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah.